In terms of your poetry, when did you decide to read your poetry aloud?
Oh yeah, that happened in New York with Larry Neal.
Yes.
And Leroy Jones or Barack at that time. They said that they were, I studied with a woman by the name of Louise Bogan at NYU, who was a well-known writer. I tried to study with
this was in graduate school.
Yeah.
Yes.
I tried to study with some other people, but every time I went to those places, you know, and I would say something, it would be silent. First of all, I was the only female, and I was the only black. It was poetry was all male, and all white male at that time, right? So I finally, after two sessions, I'd leave. I went to another place. You know, there are a lot of little writing workshops. There I was again, the only woman. You know, the only black, and I would say, okay, I'd say something in response, silence. No one, so I left. Well, I was at NYU, and I looked in the catalog, and there was this course, Bogan. I looked at Bogan. She was the poetry editor for The New Yorker at that time, and I read her work in anthology, so she's a good poet, right? So I said, I went into this classroom. I sat right by the door, just like I tell my students, they don't want to stay, sit by the door, right? 40 students in there. There were three women in a sea of white males. There was not one black male there, sitting there, or Latino sitting there. So she started talking about the course, and then she said, does anyone have a poem? But that was almost like asking an alcoholic, you know, if he or she has a bottle hidden someplace in the house, because you know there's always one hidden someplace.
Yes.
Although you deny it, you know, there's one. And I went in my purse. I said, let me find out now. So she made you come up front. So I went up front. I stood there and read the poem. And she said, did you read that poem out loud? And I thought to myself, before I got here, I said, no. I said, no. She said, because if you had read it out loud, you would have heard the following.
Right.
And I said, goody, goody, goody. Someone's going to do something with me, right? Okay, so I sat down, and the students had comments too, and boom, I stayed. She did two things, but I always do with my students. I make them, in undergrad, I'm talking about. So many of my undergrads have gotten published. Whenever I'm putting in work for an anthology, I make them send work for an anthology. I said, you want to get published. You want to do it, you know, as soon as you can. And let me help you choose the poems, right? So we've done that. So she made us get a notebook and put on each page the Nation, you know, the Transatlantic Review, the Minnesota Review, the Mass Review, you know, date sent, date returned, you know, whatever, like clockwork. So I did it. I was the first person in that class to get published. I'm doing the class, doing that semester. I came in with bottles of wine, which was illegal, right, at NYU, but they didn't know. I brought shopping bags and put it on the desk and we celebrated, whatever, because I followed what she said,
yes.
And started sending my work out. But she taught us in that classroom. She did two things. In that classroom, she said, you must learn how to read your poetry out loud to train your ear, so therefore you will find out what works and what does not work in the poem. You will not always have husbands, wives, sisters, brothers, teachers, you know, whatever, friends, whatever, but you will have this ear if you train it. So she said, I can't guarantee you what happened in a semester or a year or 2 years, but you'll know when it happens. You'll read it aloud, you'll start scratching out automatically, whatever. The other thing she told us to do was to choose a form that you might like during the semester. And I was in the 8th Street bookstore one day, and I looked at this thing and said, haiku. And I pulled it down. And I opened, I did a little short essay about this recently for this big collection of haiku. For the first time, I breathe my poetry. I have found my breath with that haiku. I sat down and cried in that store, 8th Street Bookstore. I remember the guy came looking around, you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. I bought that book and brought it home. And I started writing haiku. So in my book, coming full circle to your question about homegirls and hand grenades,
yes,
and love poems, I started putting my haiku in there. I went back in my books and pull my haiku. Because you see, at the time that we were moving and writing, a lot of the people did not really want to see anything other than things that responded to what was going on in America.
Right.
And I did that. But the first time I read a haiku in New York City, someone raised his hand and said, "Why are you writing haiku, Sonia? You're not Japanese." And I said, "Oh, is that, that's apparent, huh?"
Yes.
And then I said, I've written the haiku for a long, long time. I'm just publishing it for the first time. I said, "Why are you writing it?" I said, "Because it's a wonderful, beautiful form. It's not black." I said, "Well, let me think on that." I said, "You know, when I think about the haiku and how I see it, I see pork chops and greens and moonlight and a river, right? And dogs and tobacco, you know," this litany of stuff. And that really came someplace with the answer, I mean, because I didn't know how to answer it right.
Yes.
And then I said, "I see Coltrane playing My Favorite Things." I never paid attention to My Favorite Things when Julia somebody sang it in, huh?
Julie Andrews.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. You know, remember that movie?
Yes.
And she's out on the whatever, you know,
yes.
It's a little ditty, you know what
yes.
I mean? I said, Coltrane took My Favorite Things. And went,
sure did.
And I saw him and Alice play it together just by themselves on a stage in the village. And I knew that they were each other's favorite things. And I knew that we were also their favorite things being in that audience. And I said, I picked up the haiku and started to breathe, and I knew it was my favorite thing. I said, that's all I have to say on it. But I taught it. I taught it at Temple for 5 years.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When my students walked into my class in creative writing, I taught form. Bogan taught form. I teach form. I teach the haiku. But first of all, I do a free association exercise where I make them write from taste, from seeing things. It's all loaded stuff that you do with them, you know, so therefore they have a response to it. That's right.
Yes.
All five senses. And then I tell them, take it home. I started your poem for you. You cannot walk in and say to me that you couldn't think of anything to write. I've started it. And you do start it, and they come in. Then I do the haiku. Because most of the students write in this great expanse, you know, all over the paper. So I do the haiku, I do the tanka, I do the senkang, and then I ask them to make up their own syllabic verse. I said, because I've written the songku. You can make it up. I said, this is all about. And then I say, free verse. And then they say, it's about time. Because that's all they've been writing
yes,
in.
Yes, exactly.
But what it's about, my sister, is that I'm saying to them, free verse has form.
Yes.
It's not obvious, you know, just like life has form and discipline. It's not obvious, but unless you get that discipline and that form, you don't make it. Unless that poem gets that form and discipline, the poem doesn't make it. It's not working at all. And then they said, "I had trouble for the first time writing my free verse because I can't remember all this form." I said, "Good, whatever." But they do free verse. And then we do the blues, the ballad, and the villanelle. All about rhyme. And I make them buy rhyming dictionaries. In fact, every time I go into a high school, junior high school, and I know I'm going to have some of the brothers and sisters get up and read with me or go do a workshop, I take rhyming, I buy from Robin's bookstore rhyming dictionaries to take in. Because you cannot do rhyme without a rhyming dictionary. When I did Does Your House Have Lions? I literally slept with my rhyming dictionary because, I mean, I had a rhyme here, I went in the dictionary and it gave me something else, and then once I changed it, then the whole bloody line changed. So what we're saying simply is that it's necessary, that form. So we did that, then I said free verse after rhyme. Because some of them had put rhyme in free verse.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Which
yes.
is fascinating, you know what I mean? So all of a sudden, there they are, after they've done rhyme with a rhyming dictionary. And then we do prose poems and all other kinds of things, etc. So I teach form. And the first time that happened at Temple, when I gave them the syllabus, they looked at it and they said, we're writing haiku and what's this, tanka and what? They said, I saw you read and I thought you were like, you know, like, you know. But then I said, hip? I said, I am, you know. I'm hip enough to know that you will not write well unless you know form.
So you want your students to learn form and discipline.
Yeah, they get it. Yeah.